Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about y'all, but I actually feel like I'm walking on broken glass because Matt Gaetz is going to become Attorney General. Thank you, Cardi. You are freaking awesome. Folks, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842, and you will hear the smooth, dulcet tones of the newest member of the Maggie Dawn Show team. His name is Cardi. Tell him you say hello. Yeah. Broken glass, more like eating broken glass. Matt Gaetz as Attorney General? Mr. Spock, if you don't know what I'm talking about, check out Matt Gaetz from the RNC. He overdid the Botox. You mean the guy that was paying maybe underaged hookers on Venmo and it was public? Yeah, Cardi is right. That Matt Gaetz? Ew. I mean, he's one of those dudes, if we're all being real honest here, and I think we should be, because Civic Media is all about real news and great conversation. Being real honest, Matt Gaetz is exactly the kind of guy that, like, the instant you meet him, you're like, ugh, he gives you the icks. Like, that is Matt Gaetz. You spend as little time with him as possible. Okay, here's a question for y'all. Let's think about some elected representatives, Dems too, we can count them as well. It doesn't have to just be Republicans, that you think give you the immediate icks. Because I got another one. It pops immediately to mind. Cardi, you can always pipe in as well. Oh, Donald Trump. Trump himself, for reals, 100% on that. Matt Gaetz, clearly the icks. DJT, Donald J. Trump, 100% the icks.
Marco Rubio.
I'm going to also go with a little bit of Ted Cruz. Like, Ted Cruz is an icky dude. Once called Lucifer in the flesh by former Speaker of the House, John Boehner. When your own team captain is calling you Lucifer in the flesh, it's got to be rough. It's got to be rough. But folks, I've been wanting to get to this next topic. Ooh, Michaela from West Bend, J.D. Vance. Yes, also the icks, y'all. If you've got an elected official, Dems too, they can count. 855-752-4842. Who gives you the icks? Right now, the leaderboard reads Donald J. Trump. Let's go with J.D. Vance. Jim Jordan coming in on the text line. That's a good one. Ted Cruz. And of course, Matt Gaetz. Oh my gosh. Nosoftro, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Nosoftro, like the vampiric Rudy Giuliani. Stephen Miller, ooh, he's a big icky dude. Speaking of the undead, yes, Stephen Miller. Oh, Tom from Jackson. Scott Walker and his Elmer Fudd ears definitely has a little bit of an ew vibe to him. I'm going to go with that. Listen, Carter, you got to keep a list of all. We're going to have like the ick top 10 leaderboard. We're going to figure out how to put something on the website so you can vote, because there are so many that give us the icks. Michaela also rolling in on Scott Walker. She had to serve him hot ham and rolls once. Big ick. Michaela, you have my sympathies, my friend. Glenn Grothman. Maybe I'll just abandon the rest of the show and all we'll do is talk about elected officials that give you the icks. I'm going to throw in a little Ron Johnson there. Little Ron Johnson, very icky. Speaking of news of the day, Ron Johnson always seems to stick his head into the news. If you missed it earlier today, the GOP has selected Senator John Thune, to be the leader of the Senate. And this was a little bit of a, like, slight not quite doing what the MAGAverse wanted them to, because the front runner of butt kissers to DJT in the race to be the Senate Majority Leader was Rick Scott from Florida. And that's who most of the MAGAverse was supporting. And of course, Rojo weighed in and I'm supporting Rick Scott because there's no daylight between me and Donald Trump. I'll engage in insurrection, perhaps commit some felonies, because Donald J. Trump is the man. By the way, you can cure COVID with mouthwash. I mean, that's Ron Johnson, right? My goodness. Wes from Middleton, Eric Hovde and his stash. Yeah, I think just in general, the mustache gives you immediate icks. Like, that just, it gets you right there. And Glenn Grothman definitely gives you the icks because he feels like he still lives in his mom's basement. Like the guy doesn't get out a lot. Very strange. By the way, Glenn Grossman sat one seat away from me on a Southwest flight, and he had a distinct mothball whiff. You know what I'm saying? Like if there was a guy that was going to have a mothball whiff to him, Glenn Grossman's that dude, if you hear what I'm saying. Wes from Middleton also saying this. Honestly, Mags, every person the GOP seems to roll out makes me less nervous and more looking forward to the implosion that will ensue. They are not installing tactful, smart people. I think it's going to be more and more like 2017 when they suffered a failure to launch. No way these guys are smart enough to pull off their agenda. Yeah, but their strings are getting pulled by the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society. And guys like the Koch brothers, may the one Koch brother rest in peace. Bill from Green Bay also saying Rudy Giuliani, and from Chippewa Falls, both Johnsons. That's making me laugh. And of course, Don Jr., serious ick. Like, I don't get that same ick from Eric. Right? Like he just seems a little bit more messy, kind of out there, little like not the favored son, but Don Jr. with the slick back dude definitely gives me a bit of ick. Now he's not an elected official, but given his very public persona, I'll give him a good ick thumbs up. Yes, he qualifies. But folks, the thing I've been wanting to talk about with all of you is this information environment. I'm going to call it the information swamp. Or sewer. This is fourth on the list of factors or things that led to Donald Trump's reelection in 2024. Again, quick recap. Issue number one is existential angst that comes from the dismembering of the working middle class here in the United States. I promised you some other really interesting facts right before we went to the top of the hour break. Here they are. From 1948 to 1973, productivity in this country increased 97%. Now, the social contract is this. Workers work hard, we work more, we create more stuff. That means productivity is going up. We are creating more wealth. We're increasing the thing called gross domestic product, right? That's productivity. From 1948 to 1973, just shy of 30 years, productivity went up 97%. Now, the social contract is when the productivity of workers is going up, we expect to see real wages rising in rough proportion, right? If I create, if I'm becoming more productive and I'm creating an additional dollar of wealth for my boss, the company owner, the expectation would be that I would also see some real wage gain in proportion to, again, measured by percentage points, not a dollar for dollar, but in percentage points, I would expect to see my wages increasing, right? Like that is legitimately the social contract. 97% increase from 1948 to 1973 in productivity. Hourly wages, one metric of compensation for working people, over that same period, nearly 30 years, 1948 to 1973, went up 91%, right? Productivity up 97%, hourly wages up 91%. Aha, yes, good social contract. It's working. From 1973 to 2014, productivity went up 72%. And Cardi, most of my producers have hated it when I quiz them about little factoids on the air, but it's you're not getting graded. You can be wrong, and being wrong is sort of the rhetorical point here. So no pressure, my friend. All okay, right. So from 1973 to 2014, productivity increased 72%. My main man, Cardi, what is your guess as to the percentage increase in hourly wages over that same period of time? Again, for context, from 1948 to 1973, productivity up 97%, hourly wages up 91%. Now we're looking 1973 to 2014, productivity up 72%. My main man, Cardi, what is your guess as to the percentage increase in hourly wages over that same period?
I would say no change at all.
No change at all. Yeah. He is more cynical than most, but you're actually not far off, my friend. Hourly wages increased 9.2%. That is 9.2%, while productivity increased 72%. Folks, what that is, what we're hearing there in those statistics, that's your money trickling up to wealthy people like Eric Hovde. Yep. That is trickle-up economics. It's a real thing. Again, existential angst, messenger authenticity, all of the isms in a world and blaming all the people who have been historically less powerful than rich, landed, gentry, white dudes. And the info swamp sewer plus factor number five, false scarcity and selfishness, the idea that the world is zero sum. It is not. And accusing anybody who says we've got to treat each other with respect and kindness. We need to act and enact laws that preserve human dignity, that raise all of our wellnesses where we all do better together. Anything like that, that's called socialism. Doing the right thing is now being called in the information sewer socialism. By the way, it's not. It's called morality. But we'll get back to that. Here's where we're at in this information swamp. Where people get their news and information matters, okay? Because I don't care what study by what group you look at, there are more lies and misinformation on social media than in any mainstream legacy newspaper or other publication. And the reality is, which groups consume information from where matters. Would it surprise you to know that registered voters who voted for Joe Biden got 70% of their news from newspapers, while registered voters who voted for Donald Trump, only 21% of them get some news or their news from newspapers? 55% of those that voted for Joe Biden, Democrats, also get their news from national network news shows. It's only 35% of those that voted for Donald Trump. And here's where it gets real interesting, everybody. Cable news, you know, like Fox News and OAN and MSNBC. Only 45% of people who voted for Joe Biden got their news there, whereas 53% of Republicans did. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.